Good afternoon and happy Friday. Oh, I just had a something pop up. Hang on a minute.
Okay.
That you were recording. Apparently I have to authorize it. Okay. So hi everybody. Those of you I can see and those of you I can't. The EAP program is for employees and immediate family members, and it is a support system to help you process mm-hmm. through mental health issues, substance abuse. We can do referrals to outpatient therapists. We do a 3-visit model with the employee or the family member. There's no cost to you, which is nice. It's a benefit that the employer pays for. And when I say 3 visits, it's per issue. So we're pretty flexible with that. And with COVID, I've been doing later afternoon appointments. So if there's something that you need and it needs to be after 5, that's not a problem. You just need to let me know that. We do mediation and conflict resolution. We do job jeopardy. If somebody gets a write-up, your supervisor could refer you to EAP. It's a positive frame with a job jeopardy referral. We're not looking to, you know, terminate anybody. We're really trying to help you work through whatever got you the write-up. So we do educational stuff, critical incident debriefings, just sort of a little bit of everything. Community resource referrals, we try to stay on top of that, but your agency is probably better at it than I am. I use you guys. So, you know, you do a lot of good work around here, which is wonderful. So we're gonna follow the outline. If you've copied the PowerPoint, that would be great. And if you have something to say, just let me know. I'm happy for input or, you know, comments, that kind of thing. And so any questions before we get started from anybody? Okay. So time management.
Sorry, Cheryl. Does everyone have a copy of the PowerPoint or do you want me to share a screen? I sent the PowerPoint out to everyone, but I'm not sure everyone printed it off. Okay. I will share my screen.
Okay. Okay, folks can see it. So time management, I've worked a lot of years and I think this is always something that we're met with on a daily basis. Even if we get a plan, sometimes we have to go back and review how we're doing things. But I think it's important when you look at time management is to really look at the big picture, try to do a plan for your time. And if you can do that, you're going to feel better about work and you're going to feel more successful with what you've been, you know, trained to do. So I don't think I can move that at my end. There we go. I'll just tell you, Abria, when to go to the next slide, if that's okay. So the ability to manage your time effectively is important. It's going to make you feel better about work. It's going to reduce your stress level. It's going to make you feel like you're doing part of your job good, if not all of your job. Good time management is something I think, again, is, you know, we can get a plan going, but sometimes we got to sort of reset it every now and then. So next screen. Oh. So a lot of this is internally, you have to sort of look at your style, how you do things. So when you look at time wasting, and we all do it, I'm guilty of this, some days more than others, but we typically waste about 2 hours a day. And, you know, different chunks of time, different kind of interruptions, all that adds to it. But some of the signs, and I'm good at this, is I can't find things. I think I'm organized, and then I'll be darned if something, you know, I need isn't where I thought it was, at home and work. you know, messy desk, clutter, disorganized. Missing appointments, you might need to reschedule. Sometimes people really want to help their coworkers and they volunteer for stuff that maybe they didn't have time to do. Sometimes concentration is an issue. Maybe you've got stress going on at home. Maybe you're not feeling great. You know, COVID's been a big stressor for people. And maybe it's, you know, part of that concentration piece is how can we re-engage and connect with what we need to do. And then definitely distractions. We're probably not finding that as much as we did when we were in the office and people would pop in. But my guess is we're still having that at home with maybe phone calls or, you know, maybe family distractions. So, you know, evaluate for you, you know, looking at your day is, you know, what part of that could you maybe realign some time? Are you time wasting? Next screen. And so what causes stress? And I'm sure this is nothing that's gonna, you know, be unusual, or you guys go, wow, I didn't know that. But you know, stress is caused both internally and externally. Our anxiety kicks in, depression. We just feel disorganized, sort of, you know, discombobulated. And so how can we realign some of those feelings and some of that external piece that we may or may not have total control over? So think about what's stressful for you. I do suggest for people, if time management is an issue, is to begin to do a log, some kind of a journal, just for a week or two, just sort of see your pattern of thinking and doing, and you know what you get done or what you don't get done. It might help you look objectively at what you need to shift or do differently. So next screen. So here's some of the effects. Again, no surprises: memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, seeing the negative, anxious, racing thoughts, constant worry. Next one. Emotional symptoms, moodiness. I can't tell you how many times in all the years I've done this where I've had employees come over either individually or referred for as a couple because they're barking at each other. You know, they're irritating. And so sometimes there's a point where it even gets physical. I had two employees that were referred because they were pushing each other, and it had a lot to do with their workload and the environment that they were in. And as much as that helps knowing that, I mean, we're still dealing with that basic core of human, being a human, and how things affect us. So again, internally sort of evaluate for you, you know, how does this affect you? Do you see yourself as being moody? Are there triggers that make you irritable? You know, are you lashing out at people that you shouldn't be lashing out at? It's really, really looking at how can I be at work and engaged in a healthy fashion, even if I'm feeling like I'm overwhelmed. Physical symptoms, headaches, aches, pains, diarrhea, dizziness, nauseousness, chest pain, rapid heartbeat, frequent colds, just not feeling good. Those typically would be the initial symptoms that we begin to have. So again, weigh those. Is that something that you feel every day? You know, again, there may be something that you need to do differently regarding, you know, how you see things. Big picture is really a helpful strength to have when you're looking at time management. And I know not everybody has that. So, but there's ways that you can begin to shift how you observe that environment. Okay, next screen. These are some more physical symptoms: eating more, sleeping too much or too little, isolating yourself, which I think in days of COVID probably has affected everybody to a certain extreme, neglecting or procrastinating, using alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs, and definitely, you know, those anxiety kind of things, you know, rocking your knee, picking your nails, different things for different folks. But again, those are all symptoms that if you notice or say, oh my God, I've been doing those, you know, maybe there's something that we need to talk about. I'd be happy to meet with people privately to look at, you know, what's going on. So, and sometimes this is things that happen in a team. So again, you know, group team meetings, you may want to talk about some of the stuff on that kind of a level. So definitely reducing your stress reduction is really important for time management. So reducing your stress, these are the bullet points: time management, organization, and delegation. Some of you may or may not be in a position where you can delegate. But again, I think if you are really feeling that overwhelmed feeling, and things aren't getting done, is to go to your supervisor and have a chat about what's going on. Don't let it go very long, because it can just really undermine your whole being on the job. So next one. So this is when time management can really work well. And as idealistic as this is, I think the realistic thing is we still have to reset every now and then and review. So you can do this and you're going to be successful if you do that. But, you know, every now and then you have to go back and review, because things may change in the workplace that you don't notice until you're feeling overwhelmed again. So you can identify problems and set goals, really important. how to prioritize wisely. And that can be a challenge because you might see something as a priority and maybe a coworker or supervisor sees something differently. So again, it's communication, follow through, and engaging with the people that you need to engage with to make sure you're on target. Organizing yourself, developing solutions. I haven't been in the office for a year and a half, but I go in two or three times a week. And what I find that I do, even though I'm not there full time, is I'm organizing my desktop. Because the next time I come back, I need to know where things are at. So again, you know, whatever works for you, do it. Agree and commit to change. Recognize that there's some things that you need to do differently, and then definitely commit to doing them. Planning ahead. Sometimes in you know, your line of work, it's hard to do that because something may come up and change, you know, what a Wednesday looks like. But, you know, still plan to the best of your ability what you can do. And I usually look at a week. So every week that I leave that office, or at this point, my office at home, I know what Monday is going to bring. I take about an hour on Friday to really look at what I've accomplished, what I still need to do, what's the priority, and what's going to happen on Monday. So I'm not guessing what I'm going to come into. I already know most of it, but then there's some surprises sometimes too, but that's okay. That's part of the nature of the beast. Arrange support within the team and from managers. So make sure collectively, you guys, when you get in staff meetings, talk about how you're doing. Are you being productive? Are things getting done? Are things feeling organized? You know, go back to the mission of the agency, and are you meeting those mission goals? Those are important to keep that in view. And next screen. So these are some of the things that can stop you. Negative thoughts, which you do have control over. Negative people, which you don't have control over, but you can manage them by keeping time short and being professional when you put limits or boundaries on how much time they take. Low self-esteem, fear of failure, fear of rejection, and fear of criticism. And those are all internal pieces. And so again, I think, you know, when you look at the social work, social connection kind of jobs, most people do it because they're nurturing individuals. And that also sets them up to have some long days and hard days when they're reevaluating, are they really productive? Are they really helping? So again, if there's something that, you know, you need support with or need to talk about, I'm happy to, you know, schedule meetings with you to sort of explore that. And next frame. So this is sort of the beginning phase. Why am I doing this? A lot of people do things that they don't get. They don't know why they're doing them. Know what you're doing and why you're doing them. What is the end result? What's the goal? Will you be able to be successful when you reach that goal? And what happens if I choose not to do it? So failing to plan is planning to fail. And that is just such a real statement. And that's a good statement to sort of keep. You know, you might want to copy it and put it on your bulletin board to look at it. So, you know, we're always planning, and it's not just a Monday we plan and everything goes smooth. You may have to revisit the plan of Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday. And depending again on what kind of things are going on, you know, what calls, emergency calls have you gotten, or, you know, emergency meetings you have to attend to that takes maybe an hour away from, you know, a client contact or something. So, you know, plan each day, each week, and each month. And it may feel like that's a little bit much, but if you feel that you are sort of on top of all that stuff and you're organized, you're not going to leave it at work in the, you know, 5-6 o'clock at night feeling like you haven't done something. So I can't say that enough. I think it's really important to check in with yourself and make sure that you are, you know, seeing what's on the table to do. You can always change your plan, but only once. So again, keep that in mind. So organizing the to-do list, it helps you prioritize. It helps you to overcome procrastination. It's a critical starting point for this whole game. Breaking things down into small steps, I find that to be probably my most successful tool for me. On how I get things done, and then do the worst thing first. And I actually, if you can sort of keep track of your spurts, energy spurts, we all have them, usually one or two a day. That's a good time to do the worst thing and get it done and out of the way. For me, when I have my energy spurt, I really like to throw myself into something I'm enjoying to do. It gives me that motivation to do the next thing that may not be so much fun. So again, just sort of, you know, get a feel for, you know, the rhythm of how you think and do things and what works the best for you. And what works the best for you might not work the best for your partner or somebody else on the team, and that's okay. Don't let that difference make conflict within the team. And I think if you're finding that you're sort of judging a coworker because, you know, they're not doing it my way, and that seems to be a big thing that I hear a lot of, is try to take a step back and try to look at, you know, within your boundaries of what you need to accomplish, and are you taking care of business? So next one. Optimize your work environment. Always get rid of the clutter. I have people that will drop things off. I have a round table in my desk, and that's where the clutter goes. So I try to keep it sort of secluded, and do what you can do to keep it maybe apart from what you're working on. Try to reduce noise issues. Can you close your door? Can you put headphones on? If you're at home and you've got kids, I mean, it may be that you try to isolate yourself a little bit more from the daily activity of you know, family being around. Bring a bit of nature into your workspace. When I'm in the office, I like to bring flowers in. It just sort of makes me feel better. Again, you know, your environment, is there something that you can do that makes it feel more comfortable, where you can relax? Set up your tools for focus. So whatever you need for that project that day, make sure they're within reach so you don't have to get up and move 8 different times to grab something. And that's part of the planning phase. So if you know you're needing, you know, a computer, I don't know, just all the tools that are out there now. My, basically the one that I use is the computer, but you know, paper tools like pens, you know, a letter opener, which I never use, but it's there if I need it. Make your space comfortable for you. So I was probably working remotely for the first 6 months, and Chip would always say to me, geez, all we can see is part of your face. Cause I'd be sitting, and the chair that I have at home is low. So now I have a pillow, and it's really comfortable. So now I can see people more effectively. Sometimes it's as little as that. So again, you know, sort of look around and observe and do what you can do to make it that area that you're in, either at the office or at home, comfortable. So any questions so far? Okay. So this is what I like. There's a lot of different things out there. You can, pardon? There's a lot of different systems out there you can use. And I've looked at them all, but I really like this one. For me, it's a good fit because it seems less hectic. It's easy. And so prioritizing, we have an A list, a B list, and a C list. And I write everything down. I'm organized enough normally to really look at what needs to be done within the week, within 2 weeks, within the month, within the quarter. Break large tasks into smaller tasks. There are times that I can do that, and it works really well. Delegate those tasks more suitable for another coworker. Unfortunately, I don't have anybody to delegate to, other than sometimes I can get, you know, the clerical staff on board to help with like a PowerPoint or some things that maybe I need to dig out an old file, that kind of stuff. So again, you know, be realistic about your role and, you know, who's your go-to person that you can maybe look at getting some help with. Assigning deadlines, I think, is helpful, and you can always move the deadlines, but it gives you a targeted date that you know that you need to work on. So consider when your peak time is to focus and be engaged. And I think that's really, really important. You've got to be present. You've got to be engaged to get those tasks done, go to those meetings, feel like you're making progress. I think if you do feel detached and can't focus, again, that may be something you need to really look at. And, you know, what's the intrusive piece that's keeping you from staying engaged and focusing on what you need to do? So next one, please. Steve Jobs wrote, it's pretty clear that time is the most precious resource we have. And I think that's true. I think in the moment, sometimes we don't realize it, but when we go back and look at, geez, I wish I would have done that on Monday versus Tuesday. Those are realistic things that we have every now and then that come up. So with only limited time to do our most meaningful work, it's natural to feel a certain level of anxiety. And I think for most people, that's sort of part of who we are. But time management can help that. And I can't say that enough, that if you're beginning to feel, you know, some of that anxiety, those symptoms that we reviewed earlier, is to maybe just, again, take a break and think about where you're at and what you need to do and how you can really kick into using the time that you have left for the next project, the next day, and be successful with getting things done. So it's a day by day, moment by moment, sometimes piece where you really have to look at, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it. No quick, easy fixes. Next slide, please. Proper time management. Definitely if you can achieve it, and you may achieve it for a while and then something happens, go back and revisit what you need to do. But it's going to help you feel more in control. You're going to feel less stressed. You're going to feel less overwhelmed. There's just so much you can do in a day. And I think when you look at burnout in people in the profession that you guys are working in, it's pretty high. And so you really have to go back and sort of take hold of, you know, what you need to do to be successful. And you can't do it all in one day. You can't meet everybody's needs in one day. And that's why if you can do time management, it's going to help you feel more successful. Become more productive at work and able to disconnect at the end of the day. That is extremely important. And, you know, some days you're going to do that well and some days you're not. And don't be hard on yourself if you leave one day and you know, driving in the car thinking about stuff. But try to train yourself to let it go at some point, because it's not going to help you. The more you carry that with you outside of work, the more you're going to feel burned out when you return to work. So able to stay focused for longer and see positive return. Again, that can be a goal where you feel like you've accomplishing more than you've normally accomplished. It's really trying to look at that target and stay focused with it. And that's going to be having firm boundaries that you don't get interrupted with. It's going to be staying involved on that project and not worrying about maybe something that's sitting out there that you know you got to do tomorrow. You know, just really train yourself to stay in the moment with what you're doing till the end. More awareness of time spent on unproductive activities can build better habits and routines. I think that's really true. And again, for each of us, that's going to be different. So, you know, if you are in the office and you're spending a lot of time on the phone, maybe with coworkers having coffee, maybe a client that, you know, you need to give support to, but you're on the phone two or three times a day, is how can you realign some of that time? How can you keep the visits or the phone contacts with clients where it's helpful, but not overwhelming to you? Again, those are all practices that take time to develop. But I think once you begin to say, yeah, you know, I had one client, really liked him, and he was in a pretty tenuous situation. And I gave him a lot of time, and we would get together and we would meet actually where he worked, which was good. But, you know, at some point you don't want to make them dependent on you. And so how can you really enable them to become, you know, more independent and make good choices and all those? I mean, all that stuff comes into play when you look at, you know, a lot of time that you might spend with one client. I'm probably telling you guys something you already know. make more time for meaningful work and connect to a larger purpose. Again, keeping in mind the mission and goals of your agency are really important. And we lose sight of that sometimes when we get caught up in the nitty picky kind of things of the day. And so again, I always tell managers, you know, every quarter, sit down and go over the mission and the goals of the agency or your group. It's just a good reminder to keep focused. And I think it helps people draw some boundaries and, you know, do some things that they have to do to stay focused. So next screen. So priority category, there's three, A, B, and C. A is where you have to do things right here, right now and get them done. And maybe you get them done in that day or a week. It's typically our goals that we have that support basically our jobs and what we have to do. Support others you work with. If you know, have a half an hour free time, you know, you may want to reach out to a coworker that you know is struggling and maybe behind, or maybe a new person that's coming on board that could use some mentoring or coaching. Ask what would happen if I didn't do this today. sometimes that question will get us to a point where we can make better decisions about how we spend our time. Does this really need to be done right now, or can it wait till Wednesday? And I actually use that one a lot because in my job, I get a lot of phone calls and, you know, things happen sort of on the spur of the moment. So there's a lot of times that I have to shift gears and move, you know, a project that I'm doing to maybe a Friday. So, but, you know, see if that would help you guys in feeling more organized and reaching your goals. Only top priorities get into this A category. So those are things that you really, really have to do and be successful in doing. Okay. B priority category is, you know, they're important things. You got to get them done, but you don't need to get them done today. Maybe. And when you do these tasks, you look at these tasks. What I always do is I use a sticky pad. I love these things. Where would I be without them? I put the date on the front of it. And I have my B category lined up. And so it's always sticking up. I know when that's got to be done. I don't have to go searching through a pile. It's there. Mild consequences for not doing this task. You know, maybe somebody's going to be a little delayed. Again, you want to try to meet the needs of what you need to do to be a good engaged employee. And you don't want to, you know, put that on somebody else where all of a sudden they're overwhelmed or backlogged because of something you didn't do. And I think if you're in a B category project and you know it's not going to be done on a Monday like you told your coworker it would be, is, you know, communicate that with her or him. Let them know, you know, I'm working on it. I will really get it to you by Tuesday at noon. Again, I think, you know, where we have breakdowns in teams, a lot of times is because we don't follow through. We don't do that extra piece to let people know sort of what's going on or what's not working, and it impacts them. So, you know, make sure that you're communicating with whoever in that bubble is on that project with you, that they know what's going on for you. Time can elevate to an A. So B category, again, you know, if your deadline is October 30th, and today is October 26th, you're going to want to move it to category A and get that thing done. Never do a B task when there's an A task that needs to be finished. So it's really, you know, you don't want to overwhelm yourself with A's, but you look at priority, you know, what needs to really be done here and now, and what's the deadline date. Okay, next category. This is the category that we move paper on, or at least I do. So not urgent, not important, no consequences, but nice to do. So these are things that, you know, you have in your basket and you say, you know, I'd really like to get this done. I'd like to fine tune this or make sure that people are getting this. And it's not something that's an emergency or you have to do, but it's sort of a maybe something special for you that you want to share with people and task and, you know, get your coworkers up to speed on that piece of maybe new information or whatever. So know the expectations and tasks for each job, especially if your task affects another coworker's task. Really, really important. Don't assume, communicate. And the assumption piece, I'm here to tell you, is what gets us in trouble. So, and I know it takes time to pick up a phone or go in an office, but sometimes you've got to do that to really let people know what's going on for you. You know, and maybe they've got time where they can actually come in and help you. So again, that communication, not making assumptions of tasks and checking in with your team that you're working the closest with is going to be important. And next screen. So the big picture, I'm a big picture person. I know a lot of people aren't, but I think working on being a big picture for the work that you do is only going to help you. So knowing your schedule all the time is important. And I know schedules can change all the time. So, you know, try to keep abreast. I check my schedule, I dare say, probably 15 times a day, because it can change from 1 hour to another, just because of what I'm doing, which may be similar or not to you guys. But just know what you can do within that 8 hour day. Determine how long it takes you to complete various tasks. And I think this is important because sometimes we're not that engaged when we're doing something. And so we're thinking it takes us longer than it really does, or maybe we're in it and it's taking us longer than it should. So again, just make little notes. If you do the journal or keep track of this stuff, is just, you know, write down a guesstimate of how long it took you the last time to do it. So I'm in the middle of doing quarterly reports to our contracts right now, and I like doing it, but there's so many pieces to it. And I always block a day to do it. But the day that I block, never do I get to work on it all day. So again, it's just getting a sort of a handle on, you know, it's realistic. It's probably going to take me 2 days and half one day and half of another. So just having that in your brain sometimes help you, again, stay focused and not feeling overwhelmed. Plan a balanced schedule, which includes fixed tasks and flexible tasks that can be included. Identify odd hours and small amounts of time that you can use to complete tasks. So if you have, let's say you got done with a report or documentation of a case, and now you've got 20 minutes left, is there something on either your B list or C list that you could kick out in that time period? So, and it's amazing what you can do if you do that. Take your breaks and lunch hours. So important. Most people that I talk with will work during their lunch hour, and that's not productive. You need that break. Your brain needs the break. It gives you an opportunity to breathe smoothly, easily, think about other things, and it does revitalize you when you go back to work. It gives you an energy boost that if you work through the whole day, sometimes isn't there. So try it if you're doing your lunch hours for work. And definitely keep your plan visible and accessible. So, you know, I'm a writer. I write things down. You know, to me, that keeps me on target. Whatever works, I would encourage you guys to do, because I think it'll help lessen your stress and probably make you feel more productive on a day-to-day basis. Okay, next screen. So paperwork, it will never leave us, although I think probably over the years with the computer, it's gotten a little bit better. But keep your desk organized, focus on one thing at a time. If it gets cluttery, you know, go through it, take a few minutes to get rid of the stuff you don't need. Have a good file system, and this may be something you can include, you know, a clerical person in to help you with it if you're not good at, you know, organizing a file system. Try to touch each piece of paper once, easier said than done. But again, I think the more that you get organized in your space and you realize your schedule on a day-to-day basis, you're going to find that comes easier than what you think. Touch each piece of mail once. This is not your to-do list. So again, that's why I say, you know, I have my B aligned on my right side. You know, again, look at what you can do so that things are sticking out and they're organized, and so you don't have to keep moving things around to find them. I worked with a woman one time. She was in charge of a home for kids, and you'd go in her office and she had an old style desk, so it was a huge desk, right? And you'd go in her office and she literally had a pile of paper. I mean, it was like a round mound on her desk. And to this day, I have no idea how she found anything, but she was pretty productive. She had some secret going on, but boy, I'll tell you, it made me overwhelmed just to look at her desk. So, okay, now next one. So overcoming procrastination. So if you definitely are a procrastinator, hopefully there's something here that can help you unplug from that, because that's not going to help you be productive or feel successful. So definitely recognize that you're a procrastinator. Maybe there's a certain day of the week or when you're looking at a project that you just procrastinate on. So be aware of that. Tell yourself that. Evaluate why you're doing that. Why are you procrastinating with this project or this day, or what's going on internally for you? Take countermeasures against procrastination. The to-do list is helpful. Again, breaking things down into smaller parts can be helpful. Specific times that you really could kick it out quickly. You know, don't do it like maybe at the end of a Friday when you're sort of been busy all week and the energy level is just low. You know, really look at specific times that you can use, maximize that energy. Having to really be realistic about why you don't like to do it. are there options in that? Again, depending on your relationship with coworkers and supervisor, that may be something that you want to, you know, talk to a supervisor about. Maybe there's something else that can, you know, be beneficial for you to be involved with, or maybe it's a task that isn't really what you need to be doing. Again, I think if this goes on for a long period of time, is to really look first internally, and then who do you have to involve externally to try to make things better. Definitely reward yourself for starting and finishing projects. So if at the end of the day you got done with a huge project, you know, don't hesitate to pat yourself on the back. Every time I get my quarterly reports done, I'm in the office to get things mailed out, I always, well, I don't yell, but I let everybody know I'm done. You know, it's like, yeah. So it's a huge undertaking. And so when you have those, you know, make sure that you reward yourself. And it could be taking a 5-minute break or having a coffee or whatever, but definitely let yourself know you did a good job. Create the right environment to work in. Set up the task first. Again, that's part of the organization piece. Letting yourself know the deadlines. That's why I like these things. And sometimes I change them with deadlines, but it's again, bright, and it's sticking up and looking at me. So do the fun stuff first, if that works for you. Start somewhere, but start anywhere. Just start moving forward. Don't take time to just sit and look at it. You know, pick something and get moving on it. So it's okay that you can't do everything perfectly. And, you know, we're not perfect people. And again, I think, you know, a lot of us have that perfectionistic piece to us, which I think might be coming up in the next slide. There we go. So I hear this a lot from employees that are struggling or overwhelmed. So really look within yourself and ask yourself, are you being a perfectionist? Because you don't need to be. You need to, again, focus on goals and what you need to do to get things done. And you want to be successful with the project. So do you tend to be a perfectionistic person? Take a look at how you spend your time. What is your self-talk? And this can really undermine an employee faster than anything. Try not to do a negative self-talk. Don't set yourself up for failure. Big picture, focus on it, what needs to happen and when. What really needs to happen now, today, tomorrow, and by Friday. Again, those are realistic questions. And these are questions that you can, you know, use. If you have a bulletin board and you know, one of these slides might help you stay focused, then, you know, pull it out and put it on your bulletin board. Maintain high and attainable standards. Be realistic about what you can accomplish. I think if you're feeling, you know, maybe this skill set is not everything I'm really good at, you know, talk about that with your supervisors. There's somebody else that you can tap to help you with it or teach you something. You know, I had two women a long time ago, had a conflict together, and knew one was there for like a 30-year employee. The other one was like 12 years. And they really were tit for tat regarding how a piece of work was being done. And they both did it differently. And the one that was successful was the one that really sort of push the other's buttons. But when you start talking about, well, this is what works for me, this is how I do it, and you share that information, sometimes that can, you know, make things better for both people. One, reduces the stress or the conflict, and it gives you another skill set on how to do something. So, you know, talk about, you know, if you see somebody doing something, they're doing it quicker than you, is, you know, maybe they have an idea or a process that you could adapt. Seek help when you need it or feel stuck. I can't say that enough. That's really important. You know, there are times where we just feel like we can't move forward for whatever reason. And it's good to know who in your circle you can go to really talk it out. And I would encourage you to do that. Disruptions. This can be a lot of different things. Disruptions are often urgent to the one presenting them, but may not be so important to you. How many times do you have somebody knocking at your door, you know, sending you an email, I need to talk to you right now? And again, you know, trying to really identify, is this truly something that I need to interrupt my workload on to contact? Learn to say no. Women aren't good at this. I know there's a few men viewing, but basically we need to be assertive. In the workplace and professional, we stay professional and respectful with those no's. but there's some times where we have to say no. Establish times that you are available and not available. So a lot of times putting a schedule on your door, by the mailbox, wherever people, you know, sort of hang out, might not be a bad idea, or a secretary. Set limits with necessary interruptions. So if somebody is saying, hey, I need to talk to you about a case, tell them you've got a 10-minute window or a 15-minute window. Give them heads up going into it on how long you've got. Because sometimes those conversations can go a long time. Develop phrases that deflect that I got a minute intrusion to another time. Use modified open door policy. I don't know how you guys work your office doors in that, but you know, I think if you're truly involved in something that needs to be done, it's the, you know, A one, maybe close your door for an hour. Sometimes those will definitely give you the time to stay focused, get things done. It also tells people you're tied up. Consider working another location. So if you have, maybe you're in an open area with three or four people, and that's going to be hard to do, is there another area you can go to, a staff meeting area, kitchen area, an empty office where you can work on that project to get things done? And let people know, you know, I'm really worried about not getting this done, so I'm going to go here. And only if it's an emergency will you contact me. So those are things that sometimes you have to do. Not always easy to do, but you have to do it. So next slide. Configure your office so your desk faces the door. So I think that's good in practice, but a lot of offices are small, so it's not always realistic. The other piece to that that concerns me is safety. You want to make sure that you can always get out of your office if you need to, if you have somebody that's escalating. So use good judgment with, you know, where you put your desk and chairs and all that stuff. Stand up on the entry of intrusive visitors. That sends a message that you may not have time. So that begins right then to set that boundary of you controlling the conversation. Schedule meetings in other people's offices, because then you can say, hey, great talking to you, but I need to go. And so that's an easy, quick thing to do. Telephone tips, keep calls short, stand during the call. Again, that's more for you than for them. It's going to help you realize how long you're talking. And if you're on a time schedule, is to keep it short. Start by announcing goals for the call. So if you have somebody that's calling, you can say right up front, I've got about 15 minutes. We may need to do the 15 minutes and then contact each other later. You can even schedule like an appointment time if you need to schedule it with someone later, where again, you're in control and it's your time, your schedule. Don't put your feet up. Definitely that sends a message that everything's cool. Come on in, let's chat. and have something in view that you're waiting to get to next. So again, it keeps you focused on the here and the now, even though there's this disruption with the call going on. Okay, next one. Avoid taking on too much. I think, again, in mental health and what you guys do, that's probably hard to say no to sometimes. But I think for your own well-being and feeling like you're well-engaged and successful, you have to set limits sometimes. So learn to set limits and say no and thank you. Learn to delegate, share work, and let others help. If your position is not where you can delegate and you're feeling overwhelmed, that's a time to check in with your supervisor and let them know what's going on. You don't find time for important things, you make it. Everything you do is an opportunity, cost, or benefit. Find your dead time and schedule meetings, phone calls, or other mundane stuff during that time. And a lot of people, again, I think in your profession, dead time is not always there. And so realistically is, you know, again, when you get a 10-minute window, is that something you can follow through on that you don't normally have time to do? Use automatic systems when possible for your own self and well-being, is get enough rest and exercising and eating well and de-stress. As often as you can, you know, look for things that you like to do. Don't give up, you know, fun things, walking, tennis, you know, walking down by the lake, whatever you like to do activity-wise outside of work, continue to do that. I think it's real easy to say, geez, I've had an awful day, go home and you sit down on the couch for 8 hours. So, you know, try not to do that. Ask for advice when you need it. And in the helping for profession, that's not always easy for people because we're always seen as the helper. So, you know, sometimes you really have to break down that wall and say, I really need to talk to my supervisor, or maybe somebody that you feel safe with at work that's a confidant. But, you know, listen to what's going on between your ears. And if you know it's time to talk things through, is find a person you can do it with. Next screen. Make a plan today. And I think this sort of wraps it up with everything we've talked about, is plan your work and then work your plan. And that's not saying at some point your plan might change, and that's okay. But having it down gives you direction. It gives you a thing to look at to get through to the next day. Managing your time increases your success. And I think most people want to be successful. And so it's really, you know, taking charge of managing your day. And managing your time reduces your stress. You're going to leave work feeling better. You know, maybe not perfect, but you know, at least you know you're not going to be stressed out and go home and yell at your husband, kids, or your significant other. So do things that make you able to really look at your stress level and reduce it. Managing your time well enhances your work-life balance. And I think that's really important. We spend a lot of time at work, but we want to enjoy the time that we're not at work. And so sometimes the managing piece at work is going to be really important so that we can relax when we leave work. So the little green circles, again, stuff that we've already talked about, just a nice reminder. You know, that negative Nelly piece that we sometimes have in our heads, we have to break that up. And again, I think if you find yourself saying, you know, I can't do this, or I won't do this, or you know, I just feel awful, or whatever that positivity phase that you need to focus on and put there. If that negative piece pops up too often, again, that I'd be happy to sit down and talk with you on how to shift some gears. The other thing emphasizing is good communication. You know, again, if you're feeling overwhelmed, things aren't getting done, communicate that with the people that are connected to that project, your supervisor. You want to keep that team intact with good relationships. So it's okay to share with somebody, I'm a little bit behind on this. I just want you to know, because I know the next phase is, you know, I give you this to do. So real important. And trust and acceptance that people are doing their job rather than sitting and judging somebody because of what you think they may or may not be doing. So that's something you got to totally unplug from. So, and then the next slide I thought was kind of interesting because this happens. There was a time management workshop yesterday and it went 15 minutes over. And there we go. You know, just when you think you got it, it doesn't work. So you go back to the drawing board. And that's just part of life. I mean, you can see that at work and at home, you know, you think you're getting something done and all of a sudden something else happens and you're back to square one. So part of that is just trying to accept the fact that, you know, nothing's perfect, not us, and sometimes not the situation that we live in. So, okay. Anybody got any questions or anything? I hope the information was helpful. Gave you guys something to think about. Again, I think if you can step back and just sort of evaluate what happens for you at 8 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock or whenever you leave work at and in the afternoon, how you're doing with that. Hopefully there'll be some information that could help you shift some gears and feel more positive.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. A lot of great tips there. I think some things that we already know that were good reminders, and I think some new things as well. So
good. Really good. Yeah, and happy to talk to anybody that's struggling. I think, you know, we all go through it. So, okay. Well, everybody have a wonderful Friday. I think it's going to be a little wet for the weekend, but not all weekend. So that's a good thing.
If you have not added your first and last name into the chat, please do that. And again, if we can get this on my registry, we will, for those of you that need that. And if you need a certificate, let me know. Our next session with Cheryl is the 19th of November. Same time, it will be through Zoom again, so I'll send out a new link. And that training is on teamwork. So hopefully you are available and can make it that day as well. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Carol, have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.